best show ever. I'm telling you, you make a note of this. It's the new cowbell. You picture Christopher walking up there demanding
money. The cowbell hasn't gone away.
No, I like the cowbell. I liked the cowbell before, what's his name, before Will Ferrell started talking about it. You know what else there needs to be more of in music? The cowbell and the ride cymbal. You drummers in the house, you know what I'm talking about. The ride cymbal. There needs to be more of that in all songs. 503-733-2970. Coming up later on, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. We'll get to the stack of FCC complaints. There's a vampire that wants to drink George W. Bush's blood. And Jim Roop will pretend that he cares about Anna Nicole Smith and O.J. Simpson. 503-733-2970. We'll also have more from Tim Riley. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to New York City and talk to our good friend, Steve Kastenbaum, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
How are you?
I'm dandy, brother. How you doing? How's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Oh, man, I'm still getting over the amazement of listening to rock and roll artists talk on the podium.
Yes. I suppose it would have been gripping and exciting to hear your anecdotes firsthand when they were happening, but that's okay. I understand that sometimes I'm denied news because stations west of the Mississippi don't matter. We're unimportant. No one out here needs to hear the news. That's okay. I understand. I'm not holding you personally responsible. I'm just saying.
It's a problem. I understand. I totally sympathize.
It's okay. We here on the West Coast are rock and roll enthusiasts as well, Steve.
And of course, Van Halen from the West Coast. So.
It is true, Vivian, yeah. from Los Angeles. So now, I will talk about this YouTube thing here in just a second. But so you were, now were you at the induction ceremony itself where they do the big jam session and whatever at the end?
Yeah, I was there.
Now, I heard that you'll forgive the expression, just sucked beyond belief. That's what I heard. Now, I don't know because I didn't watch it. And people who are longtime listeners to this program and the people who work on the show know that every year I bitch about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and then I swear that I'm going to quit caring. And then the next year comes around and I just kvetch about it all over again because it's just a bunch of doddering, out-of-touch white guys. It has sort of become the rock and roll. It has become not the Hall of Fame, but the hall of things that I am supposed to listen to, as opposed to the things I do listen to.
Well, you know what it is? They started treating this induction ceremony as if it was the Academy Awards show.
Yes.
And it goes on forever. And Ronnie Spector, she talked on stage for a half an hour, and I'm still trying to decipher what she said.
What could Ronnie Spector possibly have to say? At this point, I mean, really, honestly, shouldn't Ronnie Spector just get up there and think, I would like to thank Phil Spector for picking me out of the crowd and putting me into a group where I was more or less anonymous and then allowing me to bask in his reflected glory all these years and for not shooting me?
I wouldn't debate that.
That's it, man. Did Paul Schaefer read a note from Phil Spector?
You know what? He might have. I might have missed that because I was paying attention to the Q&As in the press room.
Right.
And, at some point, Eddie Vedder was on stage. He was talking for about 20 minutes before he introduced R.E.M.
Yeah.
And at that point, the show was already about a half an hour behind schedule. And it was close to 1 in the morning, and I just wanted to hear R.E.M.
Oof.
Yeah. So
that says it all. Who was there from Van Halen? I heard that there was nobody there that anybody cares about from Van Halen.
Well, do you care about Sammy Hagar?
Well, I suppose. I care about him more than I care about any of the others, I suppose. Because David Lee Roth wasn't there, was he?
David Lee Roth refused to show up because the Academy, he said, wouldn't let him perform. And then bassist Michael Anthony, the only original founding member of Van Halen, was there. Now, talk about a gracious guy. Eddie Van Halen was going to replace Michael Anthony on bass with Eddie's son on the tour that was coming up.
Right.
Michael Anthony gets up on stage, accepts the award alongside Sammy Hagar. And he says the most wonderful, gracious thank you to Eddie Van Halen, or Edward Van Halen, as he called him, and wished him the best of luck. He said he was getting help, and we know he's going to be better when he's done with this. Talk about gracious. The guy basically said he didn't want you on the tour. You know, I want my son there instead.
We got kicked off for his 13-year-old kid who's been playing bass for 6 months.
Can you believe that? Isn't that crazy?
So let me understand this. See how I'm not getting over it? See how I was going to let it go like 2 days ago and I'm still dwelling? I swear to God, this is the last day I'll talk about this until next year. Are you telling me that the so-called Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was not going to let David Lee Roth perform?
It's really unclear what the deal is here. I mean, it's all coming from David Lee Roth. He claims that he made several overtures to the Rock and Roll Hall people, you know, offering to perform.
Right.
And he says they turned him down. And he said, well, I'm not going to fly out there and just sit in the audience while the band that I founded, is inducted into the hall.
Seriously.
So why should I show up? So
seriously.
He didn't show up.
Good for
him.
Yeah, seriously, no, he should tell those guys to get stuffed is what he should do. David Lee Roth, people unfortunately will seize on his recent failed, his failed attempt at being a radio host. But whatever, he's still one of the greatest frontmen in rock. He should tell those guys to get bent and to eat it. That's what he should tell them to do.
He would have been entertaining. It would have been great.
You know, and I don't have anything against Sammy Hagar. I really don't. I don't dislike him. He does great straight-ahead rock and roll. He doesn't try to be anything other than what he is. He seems like a good guy. Whatever. But to not allow David Lee Roth to perform in Van Halen as being inducted is just ridiculous. There's Phil Spector. Oh, and then the only other thing I care about is Grandmaster Flash was inducted. And how bizarre is that? And I'm not going to dwell on the Kiss thing again because people get tired of me talking about that. But I'm just going to say how weird that you get a band like, for instance, that Cheap Trick is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And yet Grandmaster Flash, I don't have anything wrong with him. There's no problem that I have with him. But the idea that there's a rap group in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before, like, Alice Cooper is just insane. It's just the induction process that they have at that place is just baffling to me.
I think it's baffling to a lot of people.
It just makes no sense.
I think it was the most fun part of the night, though, because it broke up the monotony of what was going on. And, they inducted them because a lot of what you hear today in the so-called alternative rock, modern rock, whatever you want to call it, those bands, a lot of them are sampling beats and scratching records on their songs. So, they wanted to pay homage to the group that literally invented doing that in the Bronx.
This is 2007? I am pretty sure at this point, 2007, 87, though, I guess we're a couple years away, because we're a couple years away from Run DMC being eligible, which I think will be in... I think that'll be in 2008, I think, or 2009. Run DMC is going to be. It'll be curious to see if those guys get in, because they really ought to as well. Let's move on to actual news for today, because
sure.
You're busy today. So Viacom, in their attempt to alienate every customer, I guess they're taking a page out of the RIAA book and the How to Get Your Customers and Consumers to Actively Despise You and Your Products. They're suing Google and YouTube for $1 billion for posting a bunch of stuff. So Viacom, I guess, is at the... It just seems like they're shooting themselves in the foot here by doing everything they can to get people not to watch their stuff.
And it's interesting because CBS, NBC, and the BBC have all reached some sort of agreement with YouTube to be able to provide content for them where they don't feel that they're on the losing end of this deal. So you would think Viacom would have followed suit and said, we're going to do the same thing, and if there's this positive publicity, people see our shows, and they've said, no, it's copyright infringement. They now say that they've done more research and found over 150,000 unauthorized clips of Viacom-owned or copywritten material on YouTube, and that shouldn't have been there because nobody asked for the permission to do that. And, they do have a site of their own where they charge people for downloads of their product, so you can understand where they're coming from. Obviously, this is all about the money. But... and YouTube is an interesting situation because anybody can go on that website and upload material, and it might be a while before the folks at YouTube realize, hey, that's something that shouldn't be here.
Well, and it just seems like what Viacom ought to do, not like they're going to listen to me, but it just seems like what Viacom ought to do is what a lot of the record companies have done, which is the stuff is up there, and at the end you tag it with if you'd like to buy this. They don't handle the real issue that they should use to try to compel customers to buy stuff, which is the fidelity issue, the quality issue, which is, say, look, here's some grainy Beavis and Butthead clip from 1991 that some guy uploaded. Here at the end, click here if you'd like to own this on DVD. Click here, take it right to Amazon. On a click here, it'll take you to Viacom.com or whatever, and then you just buy it yourself, and then you have it forever. They ought to treat this like what it is, which is free advertising.
Yeah, and I'm totally speculating here, but what's at issue right now is there's this injunction before the judge, and that means the judge can say, until we figure this out in court, you have to remove all the product from the YouTube website, and that's what Viacom is seeking right now, the first step. And, it would not surprise me if, the injunction order comes down and sometime before this actually goes to court before a judge and they argue their cases, the two sides reach their own agreement.
Well,
you know?
It just seems like screwing with Google is probably, I mean, Google's got more money than God at this point. So it does seem like, whatever. And I'm not saying that it's legal to be sharing crap all over the net. And I'm not going to claim that that's not a copyright violation, because obviously it is in most of the cases. But you got to face facts, which is that everybody's doing it. It's what consumers want. And you know what? As they used to say on Wall Street, my friend, you can't fight the tape. When public sentiment is going one way and you try to swim against it, you're going to get hammered. And Google's got like $900 skillion in the bank and a team of lawyers who'd like to do nothing more than sit around and fight things out in court. And if this is okay, this is something that Viacom will never win. Even if they win it in court, they will lose the public relations battle, and they will lose. It'll be a Pyrrhic victory because they will have spent all of this time and money is squandering eyeballs, which is the thing they need most of all. So there you go. You can write that down and say that Rick Emerson predicted that.
You know, the Viacom officials called it the willfully infringing copyrights on a huge scale,
yeah.
They said.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, you know, it's hard to say what's going on here. Does Viacom just want a better deal than CBS and NBC cut? Or are they really serious about this and they don't want anybody else handling their product except themselves? And, you know, it's hard to say what's going on outside of earshot of the press.
Well.
And I used to work for a Viacom-owned radio station when they were together with CBS. You know, there's a lot of issues going on in that company.
Well, I prefer to view this as some sort of karmic retribution for the Viacom canceling Headbangers Ball years ago anyway. So,
good point.
Thank you, sir. Enjoy the rest of your New York afternoon. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
There you go. Steve Kastenbaum, ladies and gentlemen, from New York City. Fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Get a couple calls about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and YouTube, and then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley, Mr. Skin, and the FCC.
Yes, you were kind of mean to him.
When?
In the beginning, when you gave him a guilt trip, he had been up since 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's okay. I wasn't mean to him. If he doesn't,
his feelings were kind of.
If I don't hit him, he won't know that I love him. As Phil Spector used to say to Ronnie, right before he would fire a gun 6 inches away from her head. It's 503-733-2970. This is Craig. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hi. That was the most horrible show I've ever watched. It was just the worst. The only thing...
What was the most horrible show?
The whole thing.
What are you talking about, sir?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Oh, was it on VH1?
No, I don't know. It was on some HD channel. The only thing that was any good, they did some classic performance clips, was I think 2002, where they showed My Guitar Gently Weeps and a guitar solo by Prince.
Right.
Best thing out of mind.
Now, did Van Halen perform?
No, there was some other the band, the stage band.
Oh,
they were the ones that performed.
The house band? Is that like...
House band, yeah.
It's what's his name? It's Paul Schaefer from the David Letterman show.
I think so. And Mike Anthony and Sammy Hagar were there. And it was like... Van Halen, just ridiculous.
Well, the idea that there's a van that I don't really care for Edward Van Halen as a person, but the idea that totally is Scotty's pointing out that it's two guys from Van Halen, one of whom is a replacement, both of whom have been fired.
Yeah,
I mean
and
Hagar
and Eddie looks like he's 1,000 years old.
Yeah, I mean Hagar and Michael Anthony have both been fired from the group. So, I mean, it just doesn't make it... It would be like me sending... Here's a little shout-out to the old... It would be like me sending Kenny Vance and Ed Till out to represent this radio station when they haven't worked here or near us for about 9 years. Yeah.
Exactly. And
I have no problem with Sammy Hagar, but, I mean, you can't, if you're talking about Van Halen, you can't have him and not David Lee Roth. And somebody emailed me and told me that it was... Now, were the Velvet Revolver? Was Velvet Revolver there? That's the band with Slash and Duff.
I don't remember. I don't know if they were or not.
All right. Well, was there anything else? Was there any other performance that was good at all?
You'll love Patti Smith. Oh, she was great.
Fendi. Yeah, rock and roll poet. Ha ha. All right. Whatever. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Best show ever.
Thank you. That's Craig. All right. I mean, Hagar does seem really cool. And especially that he would show up to be inducted along with a band that fired him. So, and Michael Anthony has to be nice because he's never going to get another job. So he's going to, that guy won the lottery. He's going to realize that. He's going to stay in good terms with those guys. What the hell is Alex Van Halen's problem? What the hell is he doing? Just sitting around working on his tan somewhere? And why do Alex Van Halen and Eddie Van Halen look nothing alike? I swear to God, that's a My Two Dads kind of a thing going on there. Somebody was, All right. Ethan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, back to the whole YouTube thing there.
Yes, sir.
I was watching some clips from the Craig Ferguson Show on YouTube that were actually posted by CBS.
Yeah, that's that late night show?
the late show.
Yeah, after Letterman. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm never up late enough to actually watch it.
Right.
He's a pretty funny guy, though.
No, it's
but, you know, actually posted by CBS.
Well,
you know, it makes me want to go out and actually watch CBS.
Well, people don't get the idea that stuff like that is advertising, and that there's nothing you can
exactly.
do about that, and there's nothing you can do about the internet. You're not going to turn it off. The record companies and music companies and media companies, they have this idea that the internet somehow is like a faucet, and that you're just going to be able to find this one massive spout somewhere, this one sort of spigot that you can turn, and the whole thing's just going to be turned off, and it's not going to happen.
Or these series of tubes, right?
Exactly. There's no way to just block it. There's no cork big enough. So you got to just view it for what it is, which is just a way to get people aware of your. They ought to be grateful that people are going on YouTube and actively seeking out the stuff that they do.
My point exactly. Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Ethan.
All right, thanks.
All right, there you go. That's Ethan. All right. 503-733-2970. Rick, Snoopy from the Peanuts cartoons is a Jew's harp virtuoso. That's true. I forgot about that. And he signs it, my dog just licks himself. All right. Rick, someone should tell Scotty J that people judge you by the words you use. Maybe Tim Riley should tell him, since Tim speaks with such authority. Didn't Scotty have to take some English and speech classes to get that communications degree that he has from Mount Hood? Illiteracy is no laughing matter, Scotty J. All right, well, we'll pass that along, sir. Let's see here. What else do we have? Well, we should probably just take a break. It's 503-733-2970. We will come back. After this, we will talk to Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, and then we'll do this list of FCC complaints and so forth. You say that's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio. Stuck in my head. I'm gonna have. Why don't we get drunk and screw stuck in my head? That really is the perfect Tonya Harding karaoke song. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up in a while, we'll talk to Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com. We'll do these FCC complaints, and we'll read this article about a vampire who wants to drink George Bush's blood. And that's not me who wants to do that, by the way. Rick, that guy's that dude's juice harp sounded like Ned from South Park singing "Smoke on the Water." I thought the same thing. All right. Anybody want to guess what Tonya Harding's go-to karaoke song is, according to, I guess I can say this, according to Chris Sneathan, who wants to know? Tim, any guess?
I don't know.
Sarah Dillon?
I'll Always Love You.
I would have guessed Friends in Low Places, or some similar, some bad...
Swingin'.
I've got that, you know.
I don't want to hear it.
It's too late. I've got it. Now I'm going to have to play it before the day's over. You didn't think I had it, did you?
It is the worst country song.
It might be. It's right there. I've got it. It's sitting right here. Right here. Ready to press it like the button on the nuclear football.
Yeah.
Now, I would have guessed like some trash rock song, maybe like a ZZ Top song, like a Gimme All Your Lovin' kind of a thing. Apparently, according to Sneathan, Tonya Harding's go-to song was Bette Midler's The Rose. Which is actually kind of cool.
Pretty close.
No, that's not bad. It's not bad at all. I haven't seen that movie in the longest time. Is it any good? I haven't seen The Rose forever. The Rose of Bette Midler?
Yeah.
I haven't seen it forever. I can't remember if it's good or not. It might be.
I think I saw it. Because back in those days, new movies only came out. One new movie would come out like every 2 months.
And it stayed in the theater for a year, regardless of how bad it was. It was just there forever. What should we go see? Well, the Stir Crazy or Super Fuzz? They're both going to be there for 6 months. So let's not hurry. All right, ladies and gentlemen, the Ministry of Truth, kneel before Zod or Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
The late guys who claim Father Duran molested them in the 70s and 80s have reached confidential settlements with the Portland Archdiocese. This happened just a couple hours ago.
Father Duran?
Father Duran,
yes.
Father Donald Duran.
I'm looking in your direction, Aaron.
We don't know if there's any relation.
There is. There is.
Well, there might be.
I don't know.
Duran, who is retired, denies molesting children.
He was retarded? Retired.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Duran was retired.
That was yesterday's show.
No, every day's show is a retarded show. All right.
Well, another record store bite the dust. Now it's Music Millennium on Northwest 23rd, operating without a lease. The owner says rising rents, along with the trendy street patrons, may force the doors to close. He's losing thousands a month. The younger generation, which was the backbone of the record industry and record retail, aren't coming into record stores anymore. They're getting music off their computers and their iPods. Apparently, the flagship store on East Burnside is not in danger of closing.
So that's the one on 23rd?
Yeah.
That's Terry Currier, who owns Music Millennium, and he's a great guy. I'm not gonna pretend that I don't buy music online or I don't do whatever, but Music Millennium is a cool place. And they were mostly new music there, mm-hmm. and sort of, you know, and like music merchandise. They did a lot of books and a lot of music DVDs and stuff. But I mean, if that's a Portland institution, I do believe that the one on Burnside, which is right by the Laurelhurst. I do believe the Music Millennium on Burnside is Portland's, not the first, but I do believe it is currently the oldest operating music store in the city.
Mm-hmm.
I do believe it is the oldest continuously operating music store in Portland. So, well, that sucks. I've done a bunch of things at that Music Millennium on 23rd, too. We did, I've spoken on some seminars there. If you have, the Bigger Than Jesus DVD, there's this bonus feature. It's where I do like a 10 records, 10 rock albums you ought to own and you don't, and that was all filmed there and everything. And Terry's a really cool guy. You talk to any, but people in radio in Portland, people, not just people in radio, people in the music industry, know who Terry Currier is. Anyway, I mean, there's nothing you can do. I mean, it is what it is, and times are changing, and nothing stays the same, and whatever. But that doesn't make it suck any less that a lot of guys like that are really taking it in the shorts. So, well, that's unfortunate.
But the story in Burnside is not in any danger of closing.
Well, I hope not, man. That's one of those Empire Records places where people would. I don't think people would let Music Millennium, the one on Burnside, close. It's just basically an institution. It's been there forever. Of course, that's what they said about Amoeba Music, and that's what they said about Tower Records too. So.
There is an Amoeba in San Francisco.
Are you sure?
Yeah. I was there recently.
Okay, so it hasn't closed.
No.
Because I had heard, is it the Amoeba in L.A. maybe then that closed? Because there was an Amoeba Music in L.A. that I think, that was the one I guess that closed down. So, yeah, it's there. I mean,
yeah, because they told me to take off my backpack. We'll leave the store.
Sir? Yeah, because you look like a shoplifter. You look like a hooligan.
I'm a dangerous white short guy.
Scotty, you know what you have to do. All right. I'm going to get Max to voice that in the next imaging session. He's a dangerous white short guy. He's Tim Riley. All right, ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley.
Well, let's talk about that dangerous drug, shall we? The Food and Drug Administration wants sterner warnings on several popular sleeping pills. This is about Ambien and Lunesta.
We were just talking about that with Lisa Goddard.
Mm-hmm. They want stronger language. Dr. Charles Bay of the Cleveland Clinic
is a sleep
specialist.
No, wait, no.
The sleep specialist guy?
Yep.
Oh. I love him.
Hold on.
Well, we're keeping Dr. Bay at bay. We find the Cleveland Clinic sound effect.
I'm sorry, he's from where?
The Cleveland Clinic. He's a sleep specialist. He says there is a potential for a number of strange behaviors if you take these drugs.
Sleepwalking without knowing about it, even to the point of sleep driving, leaving the house, going down and eating something and not being aware of that. And even in terms of not being really fully aware of what's going on to the point where a person may look disoriented.
We've had this guy like 3 or 4 months ago.
Really? I want to take a field trip to the Cleveland Clinic.
I'd like to take Lunesta. I like the sound of that. It sounds very peaceful.
That's what I'm saying.
I like a Lunesta.
A Lunesta sounds like some sort of a Lunesta. What does that sound like?
I don't know. It sounds very peaceful and relaxing.
Is Lunesta the drug name
or the
brand name, do you suppose?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Because Ambien. See, Ambien? Ambien is the name that really suckered me in. It's like Celebrex. I don't even know what Celebrex does. But I want to take it. Celebrex isn't like a heart drug or something. I don't know what it does. I just want to try it. Ambien just sounds so relaxing and soothing that I would. I'm not telling anybody to give us some Lunesta. Is that what it's called?
Lunesta.
Lunesta. It would be wrong for anyone to do that. I'm just saying. God forbid. If someone should fall out of your pocket in front of the station. I'm not asking for drugs. I'm just saying, I mean, I'm speaking.
I'm sure there are plenty of people wandering around the alleys back there who give me some of them in
the hallways. I'm sorry, I didn't say that.
There are people outside the building.
Oh, yeah, that too. Mm-hmm. Let's move forward. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, there's a heated debate going on over withdrawing U.S. troops from Iraq.
It's going on in the Senate.
Senators cleared a key procedural hurdling and started debating Democratic proposals to target U.S. withdrawals from Iraq by the end of next year. Illinois Democrat Dick Durbin rejected accusations that Democrats are trying to micromanage this war.
And for those who argue that we are micromanaging the war, I guess my question to them, isn't it time that somebody managed this war? Isn't it time that when it came to troops and mission and equipment, that we clearly had a management plan that our troops deserve?
Dick Durbin, cop reporter on the scene.
Meanwhile, Democrat Joe Biden, a presidential contender. Is he running for something?
He's nice and clean, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, I never hear him speak anywhere about running for something.
Apparently he is. He's afraid of opening his mouth and insulting someone else.
That's true. Troops don't lose wars. Bad policies and bad leadership lose wars.
Mr. President,
you're
leading
the wall.
Us off a cliff. Stop.
Well, that's right to the point. Don't you want to like corner Joe Biden somewhere, like in his office, and just ask him to comment on nothing but black politicians? What do you think of Condi Rice? Colin Powell, tell us! Just see if you can make him sweat.
John McCain said Iraq is not Vietnam.
We were able to walk away from Vietnam. If we walk away from Iraq now, we risk a failed state in the heart of the Middle East, a haven for international terrorists, an invitation to regional war in this economically vital area, and a humanitarian disaster that could involve millions of people.
Did we know what's going on? Did we walk away from Vietnam? Yeah, I've seen that picture of the helicopter.
Out of the
I was going to say, I've seen that picture of the helicopter leaving Saigon. That wasn't really a walking away. That was a, ow, 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 come on! That's what that was. Ed, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Oh, hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
Oh, I love your show, man. It's
Thank
awesome.
You.
I'm glad you're back on the show. It's a year and, what, one day now?
A year
awesome.
And yes, well spotted. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. I was just going to say, that Van Halen thing on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame bummed me out because those are the two bands I really loved was Van Halen and AC/DC.
Yeah.
Growing up through high school and junior high, you know, I enjoyed the hell out of this band. So.
Yes.
And, well, I just... Hello?
I am right here, sir. No, I was just... It's true. I like
you
it.
Know.
I was more of an AC/DC fan than a Van Halen fan. Van Halen...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm more of a... The David Lee Roth era is what I'm about. They lost me. I mean, I don't dislike Sammy Hagar. I don't care for Van Halen with him. AC/DC,
yeah.
though, I have never... They are the exception that proves the rule about not changing lead singers. So,
I mean,
yes.
they are the godsend, I think, of a hard rock band.
Pound for pound, the greatest hard rock band of all time, pound
yeah.
for pound.
Definitely,
Absolutely.
For sure, and I like all the other like alternative bands and the old school stuff, but yeah, AC/DC is their.
God bless you, sir. Are you spreading the word about their show?
I am, sir.
When is the last time you did that, Ed?
I did that actually yesterday. Actually,
to whom?
A friend of mine at work.
What was his name? What's his first name?
His name is Charlie. So,
are you making this up?
No, I am not.
All right, do you swear on your mother's soul that you're not making this up, even if she goes to hell because you lied?
That's a tough call, man.
Ah, you're lying. This is a lie. There is no Charlie, is there, Ed?
Well,
there's no Charlie. Why must you turn this radio program into a house of deception, sir?
Well, because I'm an evil Westsider.
All right, well, that's okay. I won't hold it again. All right, well, make it up, but go find someone named Charlie and tell him about the show.
I will, but I do love your show. I listen to it every day. I actually called in sick to work, but so usually I listen to you on the podcast.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Thank you. You call us anytime.
When does he
All right,
write?
Thanks.
There you go.
Let's go. Shout out to everyone. Suckers. Scotty, can you get Mr. Skin here, and we'll do a couple more here, and then we'll talk to Mr. Skin, and we'll take a break. So if you can obtain him, please, that would be fantastic. Oh, this guy says Lunesta probably comes from Lunar. And siesta. That totally makes sense. Loon from lunar and esta from siesta. That makes sense. Because, you know, there's a whole... That's a whole industry is naming those things so that they sound interesting. Oh, Celebrex is apparently a rheumatology medication. I guess I don't really need that. All right, here's Jim Riley.
Well, a radio host who claims to be a doctor says his arrest is a mistake. 60-year-old Mark Goulet is free on bond
after he was taken into custody for the Broward Sheriff's Department in Pompano Beach. This happened in Florida, by the way. He is charged with practicing medicine without a license at a half dozen clinics around South Florida. He held a press conference outside the jail and says he doesn't use his license.
Well, I have MD license, but I don't have Florida license. They have Florida.
Jesus,
where is your license?
I have a license up in, actually, I'm in Montreal, in Canada. But I don't use it.
He doesn't need it.
His license is in Canada, along with his girlfriend.
He says he has the formation to be a doctor, though.
Well, it was all, I think, one big mistake.
Are you a medical doctor?
Yes. I have the formation, yeah.
I have the formation.
And he claims he's better at other areas of medicine than being an actual doctor.
I don't want to. I do research, marketing, administration. That's my forte.
That's what... Okay, it's pronounced fort. That's what you want.
That's what you want. He gets all his customers from his radio show.
That's what you
want. They sold him a little time.
Operating on your liver is a guy who's in marketing. Yeah, well...
He has a weekend show on this.
Maybe he'd like a weekend show here.
He could use a doctor, couldn't we?
Yes, we could. All right. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. I've got hours available. Reasonable rates. Just call me up.
Anyone with a Canadian doctor's license should call now.
It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break here in a few, and we'll come back with more of Tim Riley and then these FCC complaints. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database, our good friend Mr. Skin. What's up, man? How you doing?
Hey, Rick. How's it going, man?
It's going okay. I'm a little tongue-tied today.
Yeah,
okay.
Don't worry about it. When nudity, you get nervous. That's what happens. Yeah.
It is true. And I haven't had time. Now, normally, we usually get the gallery or the little thumbnails in advance of who's nude. I haven't had time to check my email today.
No problem.
I'm going through it,
and then you could go later and check out the pic.
Yeah, I'm going into it totally blind. I have no idea who's nude this weekend.
Totally naked.
Yes.
So. Well, let me start with in theaters opening on Friday is a PG-13 thriller called Premonition starring Sandra Bullock.
And Bullock,
and unfortunately, whenever Sandra Bullock's going to be in a movie, I have a premonition that there won't be nudity, and
yes.
That is the case again here, but... If you had seen the pics, you could have saw something I sent that she did in 1993. It's before she was famous, very typical of actresses. Before they hit it big, they'll do a crazy nude scene, and then all of a sudden they are a big celebrity and refuse to do so. She did this movie called Fire on the Amazon that would have been lost in obscurity other than the fact that at the 49-minute mark, she has a pretty graphic sex scene with this guy named Craig Sheffer, and it's you'd be surprised that Miss... You know, Congeniality did a nude scene like this. It's called Fire in the Amazon in 1993. There's no nudity in Premonition, but it inspired me to pull up some old pics of...
Well, it is sort of like I said, like a lot of those actresses where as soon as they either become famous or like in the case of Jennifer Connelly, as soon as they win an Oscar, suddenly like the bra just stays on for the rest of their lives. Like they never take it off again.
Right. Oh, yeah. And it's just one of those things. Once you get famous, you could pick your roles or choose, you know, what you want. And that's why early on is when you're most likely to do a good nude.
Well, and a lot of guys, I think, Sandra Bullock, even now that she's kind of cooled off a little bit, but I think guys still dig her because she looks like the kind of girl that might conceivably live next door and possibly sleep with you if you catch her on the right night.
Yes.
All right.
No question.
What else is going on?
Now, there was an art house movie you might have heard about called Short Bus that caused kind of a stir.
I did hear about that.
Yeah, the reason is it's actually out on DVD this week, and it's an unrated look at a kinky sex club, and it's chock full of, you know, naked women and crazy stuff. Now, what makes it unique is it has real sex in a mainstream movie. Now, it is not a porn movie. This is a real with real actors and real actresses, and it just so happens that they have real sex scenes in this, and that's what kind of gave it people noticed about it. It's not very common to film a mainstream movie and then throw in real sex. And I remember reading what the director said. He tried to, especially early in the movie, put a lot of real sex scenes in so that it would just become, you know, you'd move on and not care about it so much. It wouldn't shock you, and it would become just part of the movie. And
right.
It's pretty interesting. It's called Short Bus. Unfortunately, there's some man sex, which is bad, but or, you know, not my cup of tea, but the tons of great female nudity in this, so check it out. It's called Short Bus. It's new on DVD.
I think that played at the Art House Theater actually here for like a week or something, and
mm-hmm.
I knew some people who went to see it.
Yeah.
And what else is coming out this week?
Well, they also have a straight-to-DVD movie called Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning.
I saw a banner ad for this the other day. I was on a movie site. There was a banner ad, and I thought they were screwing with me. Like, who knew? It's like one of those movies you never even heard of, and then suddenly it's out on DVD.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, it wasn't like the Jessica Simpson version. The first one was so incredible that they had to get this out right away, but they did. And this is the before, you know, this is the beginning, a prequel, if you will. And there's actually some real good nudity. Now, again, this was not in theaters. It went straight to DVD. And at the hour and 29-minute mark, I don't know if you remember, Rick, but there's a girl named Trishelle Canatella who was... She was like on MTV The Real World, and then she's been on Surreal Life, and she's kind of a... you know, a reality babe, and now she's crossed over into movies, and she has a real nice topless scene in this movie, an hour and 29 minutes in, and there's some other girls showing skin, but it's called The Dukes of Hazzard: The Beginning. It'll be at the new release section of your favorite video stores.
Yeah.
Jessica Simpson is not in this movie, in this version.
Yeah, it'll be on the bottom shelf.
Yeah, but the cover, of course, is the sexy girl, and that'll probably make a lot of guys want to pick it up. Now, they also, you remember The Revenge of the Nerds back from 1984?
Yeah, we talked about this last week, about that special edition that came out.
Yeah, that's another one that, you know, a lot of guys have been emailing me about because it's been out for the last couple of weeks, and it actually is doing very well, and I'm surprised that the only thing I wanted to mention, I know I mentioned to you before, but they didn't add any additional nudity, but the actual nudity in that was really hot, so don't forget about Revenge of the Nerds, which is out. And finally, I wanted to mention to you, if any of your listeners, we have a real cool thing going on at MrSkin.com. It's completely free, where, you know, with the NCAA tournament going on and the 64, the brackets of the 64 teams, I actually had the bright idea of taking the 64 of my favorite nude scenes, 16 from the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s, and put them into brackets up against each other so you could look at the best of the 70s, the best of the 80s, and so forth.
That's very cool.
And put them up against each other, and you could watch the entire scene with sound totally for free, and then vote, and then on Sunday, as the you know, the tournament gets down to the Sweet 16, on Monday we'll announce our Sexy 16, and you can come back and vote, and it'll be real fun to see what turns out to be the best nude scene of all time. I'm looking forward to it, because in my head I know what I think is, but it'll be good to see what the people
think. Don't give it away.
No, I don't know yet. I won't know until we get to the final four. We, of course, are calling it the final foursome.
There you go. Mr. Skin from MrSkin.com, the online celebrity nudity database. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Larry. Take
care.
There
you go. Fantastic. Mr. Skin, ladies and gentlemen. It was like a little Pee-wee's Playhouse music that dropped in the middle of that for no real reason.
Oh, Tim.
All right. That dawn.
It's research for an upcoming news story.
Only on this program would that ever be true, and I don't doubt it at all. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. Tim Riley. What the hell is this? It sounds like a Scotty J production.
I don't know. It's supposed to be something
else. All right. We'll come back. Tim Riley around the corner. What else do we have coming up? Oh, we'll do this FCC thing as well. Later on, like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7. You say there's the Rick.